winning attitude of positive self-expectancy leads to the action quality of positive self-motivation. This message is on the winning activity or developed habit of positive self-motivation. Positive self-motivation is the inner drive that puts optimism into action for winning in life. The main theme of this winning quality is that winners are driven by desire. Winners are driven by desire. You know, there never was a consistent winner in any walk of life who didn't have that burning desire to win internalized. Winners know that the basic behavioral axiom in life, which Earl Nightingale first introduced to millions of listeners as the strangest secret, and that's the fact that you and I become what we think about most. And put in another way, you and I are motivated every day and moved by our currently dominant thoughts. In other words, we move only in the direction of that which we dwell on. Everyone in life is self-motivated, a little bit or a lot, positively or negatively. Even a decision to do nothing is a decision based on motivation. Motivation is a much maligned and over-franchised and over-promoted and misunderstood term. The word motive is defined as that within the individual rather than outside, which excites him or her to action. It's an idea or a need or an emotion or a state that prompts to action. Motivation is a force which moves us to action, and it springs from inside the individual. It's defined as a strong tendency toward or away from an object or situation, and it can be learned and developed. It does not have to be inborn. You know, for too long, it's been wrongly assumed that motivation is extraneous, that it can be pumped in from the outside through pep talks or contests or rallies. Such activities provide concepts and education, encouragement, and inspiration for individuals to turn on their creative powers, but only if they want to, and only if internalized. And that's the secret. Lasting change is effected only when the need for change is both understood and internalized. Until the reward or incentive has been interpreted and internalized, it has no motivating power at all. And so the real winners in life are the people who have developed as a result of an overall attitude of positive self-expectancy or optimism, a strong positive self-motivation. In other words, they've developed this ability to move in the direction of goals that they've set or roles that they want to play, and they'll tolerate little or no distraction from moving toward those goals. In the face of all discouragement, mistakes, and setbacks, this inner drive keeps them moving upward towards self-fulfillment. Motivation is a very emotional state, and the great physical and mental motivators in life, such as survival and hunger and thirst and revenge and love, are all charged with emotion. And the two key emotions which dominate all human motivation with opposite but nearly equally effective results are fear and desire. And fear is the most powerful negative motivator of all. Fear is the great compeller and the great inhibitor. Fear restricts and tightens and panics, forces and ultimately scuttles plans and defeats goals. And desire, conversely, is like a strong positive magnet. It attracts and reaches, it opens, directs, and encourages and achieves goals. Fear and desire are poles apart, and they lead to alternate destinies in life. Fear always looks to the past, desire toward the future. Fear vividly replays haunting experiences of failure, of pain, disappointment, or unpleasantness, and is a dogged reminder that the same experiences are likely to repeat themselves. But desire, on the other hand, triggers memories of pleasure and success. It excites the need to replay these and to create new winning experiences. The consuming prison words of the fearful person are likely to be, I have to, I can't, I see risk, and I wish. Desire says, I want to, I can, I see opportunity, and I will. Desire is that emotional state between where you are and where you want to be. So desire is a magnetic tension, like a bow pulled taut to fire the arrow to the bullseye. Is tension good or bad? Yes, it is good or bad, depending on how you look at it. Negative tension, induced by fear, creates distress, anxiety, sickness, and hostility. Carried to extremes, it can cause psychoses and death. But positive tension, produced by desire, is like that bow pulled taut to propel the arrow to the bullseye. In a totally tension-free state, you're either asleep or dead. Viktor Frankl, the noted psychiatrist who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, flatly states that what a person really needs in life is not a tension-free state, but the striving and struggling for a goal that is worthy of him or her. The winners in life respond positively to pressure in life, as every professional manager and government leader and winner, whether they're an executive, an educator, a doctor, a nurse, an athlete, or a homemaker, respond successfully to the pressures in their arenas. The winners have learned how to dwell on the rewards of success rather than the penalties of failure. Winners dwell on the rewards of success and not the penalties of failure. You know, there's an old story that you may remember that graphically demonstrates what I'm talking about. Let's see if you remember it. If I were to put a plank 2 feet wide and 20 feet long on the floor, and I put a $10 bill on one end and offer it as a reward to a friend, if he or she can walk the length of the plank, 1 foot after the other, without stepping off on the floor and pick up the $10 bill, no sweat. Easy function, sufficient reward, low risk, simple to walk 1 foot after the other for 20 feet. But now I put one end of the plank on the roof of a 20-story building and the other end on the roof of an adjacent 20-story building. And I put a pebble on the $10 bill just in case there's a slight breeze. And now we ask your friend to walk the plank just as before to pick up an easy $10 bill. Would they do it? Not on their life. Maybe for $1,000 they'd shinny across. Suddenly, a new element has entered the performance. 20 stories of or else, or fear. As you begin to walk the plank, a relatively easy task, no longer is the reward of success the incentive. The penalty of failure looms as a neon sign beckoning. Your legs tighten up. You step with excruciating care, unsteady, in need of a balancing pole. Fear of the penalty of failure takes hold and makes the most simple task of all impossible to perform. And so it is with all of life's daily confrontations. Dwell on the reward, you move toward it. Dwell on the penalty, you move toward it. You know, there's a great classic true story involving baseball. The World Series, New York Yankees, Milwaukee Braves. Warren Spahn, the great Milwaukee left-handed pitcher, on the mound. Elston Howard, the great Yankee catcher, at the plate. Score tied. Two men on. Two men out. 3-2. Critical part of the series. Critical part of the game. The manager walks out of the dugout to give Warren Spahn, the great pitcher, some encouraging, motivating advice. "Don't give him a high outside pitch," said the manager, and walked back to the dugout. Warren Spahn said, "Why did he have to tell me it in that way? Let's see, don't give him a high outside pitch. The reverse of that is too late." Like a neon sign, high outside came as the message. Out of the park went the ball. Yankees win, Braves lose. To this day, Warren Spahn, the great Milwaukee pitcher, says, "Why would anyone ever motivate anyone else or themselves with the reverse of an idea?" Winners know that all of their actions will be controlled by their currently dominant thoughts, and that you cannot dwell on the reverse of an idea. That's why you can't lose weight if you keep thinking about how fat you are. That's why you can't stop smoking if you're a smoker. And that's why you can't get rich if you're worried about your bills. Winners see risk as opportunity. They see the rewards of success in advance, and they don't fear the penalties of failure. The innervating powers of fear are unfortunate because individuals dominated by fear, they cannot act with choice or positive intent. They go through life reacting and defensive and incapacitated. People who are dominated by stress are unable to change the world they live in. The world they live in alters them. It's a strange and sobering fact that the thing we fear most, we ourselves bring to pass. Many years ago, the English essayist James Allen wrote that they who have conquered doubt and fears have conquered failure. Their every thought is allied with power, and all difficulties are bravely met and overcome. Burning desire is the perfect mental antidote for fear and despair. Desire sparks activity, which burns up excess adrenaline in the system. It keeps the mind busy and the hope of achievement alive. Inactivity breeds despondency, brings forth dark imaginings, and distorts situations all out of proportion to reality. When fear begins to beg for attention, the winner gets busy, and things gain their proper perspective again. After decades of search and study, we now know that high achievers in life have a high degree of self-motivation. The enduring power that moves them to action comes from inside themselves. So success in life is not reserved for the talented, and it's not in the high IQ, and it's not in the gifted birth, and it's not really always in ability or in the best equipment. Success is almost totally dependent upon drive and persistence, the extra energy required to make another effort, to try another approach, to take a new tack, is the secret of winning. Out of adversity is the call to greatness. Out of luxury sometimes is the lull to apathy. Out of need springs desire, and out of desire, the energy and the will to win. Now we need to really remember how to develop this winning action quality of positive self-motivation. And so it's important for you to remember that everyone's self-motivated a little bit or a lot, positively or negatively, and that motivation is not optional. Even the decision to do nothing is a motivation. Each of us is motivated by our fears or our desires. Fear is unavoidable because it can get you moving, it can save your life, it can save a child's life. Don't run in the street, might get hit. Keep your head down, might get it shot off. It's a good motivator in wartime, in dangerous situations. But as a habit or a way of life, fear has an extremely destructive side effect. So your most valuable exercise in developing positive self-motivation is to try to replace fear motivation with desire motivation. Fortunately, because fear and desire are often two sides of the same coin, that's not as difficult as it appears to be. Fear of poverty can be replaced with desire for affluence. Fear of sickness can be replaced with desire for good health. Fear of failure can be replaced with desire for success. Winners realize that they are motivated by their currently dominant thought. So your concentration should be on the reward of the success that you seek rather than the possible penalty of failure. Now consider the first example of poverty and affluence. Should you focus your attention on the thoughts of hungry children, of ragged clothing, or the threat of insurmountable debts, or decrepit housing, or welfare? Or would you prefer dominant thoughts of happy children, comfortable, stylish clothing, beautiful homes and cars, warm, convivial social gatherings for tennis, or golf, or skiing, or boating? Remember, you make the choice of concentrating on the problems or on the solutions. So make it a habit, if you desire an affluent or wealthier life, to find out, to look at, to talk about, to use the visual aids available, such as home and recreation exhibits, auto showrooms, home decorator magazines, and get the full vivid details of what you want. And imagine yourself using and enjoying them every day. And always remember that when you fear a possible outcome, you're actually setting it up to be achieved, as if it were your goal. Make desire your currently dominant thought, and it will propel you with the motivating energy for success in every area of your daily life. Behind every winner is the burning desire of optimism and enthusiasm toward the rewards of success, and not the penalties of failure, toward the solutions in place of the problems, and toward the answer in place of the question.